TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Election Eve in the state of Georgia brings yet another controversy focused on the process simply of holding elections. The Republican Secretary of State, who also happens to be the Republican candidate for governor, is claiming that state Democrats tried to hack a voter registration website. CNN's Kaylee Hartung is in Atlanta. Kaylee, is there any evidence of the Democratic state Democrats trying to hack this election?
No, there's not, Jim, but we can explain to you what led the Secretary of State's office to open up this investigation. It was a series of email communications they received that looked to them like two Democratic operatives discussing a plan to try to attack vulnerabilities within the state's voter registration database, and it also included the computer programming script to do so. But as it turns out, there was an email that preceded those that the Secretary of State's office didn't initially get. And that was an email from a concerned citizen who reached out to the state's voter protection hotline that is run by the Democratic Party to make them aware of these vulnerabilities that he sort of stumbled upon when he was checking out the status of his own voter registration information. So the Democrats have denied any association with discovering or attempting to take advantage of what they say are vulnerabilities in this system. And Stacey Abrams responded this morning.
It's a witch hunt that was created by someone who is abusing his power. Friday, Brian Kemp was notified that there was yet another flaw in the election security system, twice before he has accidentally released the information of 6 million Georgians. This was about to happen again. Instead of owning up to it, taking responsibility, and seeking a way to fix the flaw, he instead decided to blame Democrats because he does that.
Because he does that. Oh my gosh. Folks, tonight is a panel discussion surrounding the state of our union, the state of America, because there are several high-stakes elections taking place on Election Day tomorrow, Tuesday, November the 6th. Welcome to the show. TM Live out of Atlanta. Hey, jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. It is an open discussion. If you can hear us, you can chime in, and we can be heard all around the world right now. It is 6:07 on the West Coast, 9:07 East Coast time. Welcome again to the show, all the way live from South Carolina. Give it up. She chops it up every Wednesday with us. Fee, what's going on, lady?
Not a thing. I'm ready to go out first thing in the morning so I can make my vote count. I'm ready. Let's get it. Let's go.
Yeah, it's interesting. As you all heard in that report, Stacey Abrams versus Brian Kemp. Isn't it interesting how the Secretary of State, who's also running to be governor, is the one that controls the actual polling system, and he's crying foul when he's the one that actually tried to keep about 50,000 people from voting, that backfired on him. Shame on you, Brian Kemp. It's a panel discussion tonight, folks. Want to go ahead and welcome one of our panel guests into the discussion. We got Cliff representing VA tonight. Bro, welcome to the discussion. Thanks for your time.
Peace, Hayes. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no doubt, bro. Man, let's just jump right into it, as others will join us. We got Florida being represented also tonight. High-stakes elections with Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum. You had the president to come out of retirement for both. It'll be the first time a black man actually is nominated governor, as well as a black woman. We're making history if this happens tomorrow. Cliff, VA. We saw our first African-American governor in Governor Wilder, I want to say 1994, which was a good year. If not before then, I might have my years wrong, but I want to say 94 we saw Wilder. We made history way back in the 90s, even in a Commonwealth state. What is the tone? What is the election tone like in VA right now? Are people apathetic towards the process? Do they really not give a damn? Do they not feel like their voices matter? Or are they fired up and ready to go?
I believe, if I'm not correct, I heard that the expected turnout amongst African Americans would be at 17% across the board for this election. So I don't say they're apathetic. The numbers seem to indicate a certain amount of apathy, so absolutely. And that might stem from people not feeling as though their voices are being heard. That's certainly a fair way of at least thinking about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's go ahead and welcome Keith Solomon into the conversation, representing the state of Florida. Florida has a whole lot going on, as always. I mean, if you can think of anything that is off the wall, the most crazy, upside-down, inside-out situation, like it happened in the state of Florida. Keith, what is the tone like right now amongst the constituents in the state?
From my experience, I mean, I've been getting texts, emails. We get email correspondence. I've never had this much political communication in my life. So I believe that the information has gotten out. I believe Gillum is going to be our next governor, and I'm excited about, you know, just being a part of it, history being made.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a panel discussion tonight about the state of America and the high stakes elections that are taking place across the country. But before we go too much further into the discussion, I want to remind voters across the country. What we have experienced way before we actually voted this president. I'm going to say our president, to be respectful tonight, into the discussion. Do you all remember
this?
So,
and she used to be great. She's still very beautiful. I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and she was married.
You're never there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was gorgeous. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took out furniture. I moved on her like a... I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hottest in the purple.
Whoa!
Yes!
Whoa!
Yes, the Donald is good!
Whoa!
Oh, my man! Wait, you gotta look at me when you get out.
Remember, this up.
That is
give me the thumbs up.
Look at you. You are a big
thumbs up. You gotta get the thumbs up. Can't be too happy.
Can we get anybody else off first?
Yeah, let me.
It's very funny.
You gotta give me the thumbs up.
All right, you and I will walk in. Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the phone. No, it's her. It's
yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the...
Hey. Way before we even got into this, we knew what we knew about our president. Are we really surprised? This is what we voted for. And I say we, and I did not vote for 45. I did not vote for 45. But we knew what we were getting into way before. Right, and we still elected him president. I'm going to ask the female on the panel right now. Knowing what we knew about the president, are you shocked that he has been continually disrespectful from before he was elected up until maybe yesterday?
I'm not shocked. Because of who he is, I'm not shocked. I think it speaks volumes for our country, for the people to have voted this, I'm trying to pick my words nicely, this individual into office. I definitely was there bright and early, and I voted, and it was not him. And it saddens me to hear that they're saying the turnout for tomorrow is for African Americans is 17%. I think that is a very, very low number from what I've seen just for the early voters.
I'm not sure that that's the right perspective. I do understand people are writing, but I think some of that is to throw us off track. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, I really feel like tomorrow is – history is going to be made. I really feel like the turnout for Florida and Georgia in itself is going to be mind-boggling. They're not ready for the influx of voters that are going to show up tomorrow. And I'm going to speak that into an existence. And it's here in South Carolina as well. We need a blue state. We need blue states, period, across the board. And I've said it here on the show several different times. If these states that are supposedly going to be red aren't turned blue, we are in for some shit, because it's going to be another orange MF in office for another 4 years. So we got to show up and show out.
It definitely feels like we're already in it already.
I agree.
When it comes to tomorrow's election, when it comes to what's important to you and your families and why you're voting the way that you're voting, if you're voting at all, one, I hope that you are voting. And if you're wherever you're listening from, if you're in the United States, you need to not only vote, but take somebody else out with you, encourage somebody else to go out with you, because that's really how we turn the tide in the country. But what's important to you and your family? For me, healthcare right now is probably like one of the most important things. In the state of Florida, Keith, what is the most important thing to you and your family right now?
Healthcare is really, really important to me and my family. But just in recent days, I've been really following the reports of voter suppression. In North Carolina, and just some of the things that the political parties are engaging in, just to keep people from not being counted. I think that everyone has a responsibility to vote. For me and my family, I'm going to take my kids out tomorrow and let them see what it's like, you know, to go vote and, you know, try to instill that in them so they know that, you know, people fought and died, you know, for our right to vote. And I'm excited about it tomorrow. But I believe for me personally speaking, just insurance, you know, health care, and having the right to choose my particular provider. I've seen massive changes over the last 4 years in healthcare providers and just our access and even the payments and what we're charged and how the billing system is set up. It's just so many changes. It's almost like it's upside down.
Let's listen to this report on the two candidates running for governor in the state of Florida, and then we'll talk back on the other side of this. This is the two candidates, two very different perspectives.
Obamacare's protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Do you believe insurance companies should be allowed to charge more to people who have pre-existing conditions?
Pre-existing conditions should be covered in that bill. They were required to be covered. It just gave states the ability to be able to do that in a way that would lower premiums for other people. Here's what I would say as governor. If somebody somehow falls through the crack, if there's a change in law federally or court decision, I will sign a bill to take care of people with pre-existing conditions. We need to take care of those folks. But you know what? I know people in the military, families with people with pre-existing conditions who are on TRICARE. Andrew's running away from Medicare for All, but he ran commercials in the primary saying how he was for it. Medicare for All takes away TRICARE. It forces military families onto a single-payer government plan. So here's the thing. I want protections. I want to have a lot of things for plans, but you actually have to have access to a physician. You can't get stuck on a waiting list. Under a single-payer plan, man, that'll make the VA waiting list look like the fast pass at Disney World.
Mayor Gill?
Listen, Mr. DeSantis wants to correct his record now, but for 6 years while in Congress, he voted over a dozen times to repeal the ACA. He voted to allow insurance companies to discriminate against people based off of pre-existing conditions. For those folks who are at home, If you're sitting on the couch with one other person, between the two of you, probably one of you has a pre-existing condition. And this congressman would have allowed for insurance companies to discriminate against you based off of that pre-existing condition. He told a cancer patient who wanted to know, without insurance coverage, how would they get access to health care? He said you could always go to the emergency room. Now, we disagree on a lot, but on
Thank
that
you.
Statement alone,
well,
Congressman DeSantis is
let
disqualified
me respond
for the
to that.
Office
the
of
The point was, when you talk about this coverage, what does that coverage get you? The fact is, with Medicaid expansion, people didn't have access to doctors. Most physicians do not accept new Medicaid patients. So the reality is you have people with that card, but they are going to the hospital for primary care. I don't think that's a good thing, but that, in fact, is the reality.
Health care is the major issue on Floridians' minds. Everyday Floridians are concerned about getting sick, because if they get sick in this state, they can't go to work. If they can't go to work, they can't earn a wage. If they can't earn a wage, they can't pay their bills. And when they don't pay their bills, something gets cut off.
Thank you.
This is not this issue is deserving of our time, because this is not something we can just walk past. This is the issue that is at the top of mind for everyday Floridians, and we deserve to hear from the congressman exactly what.
If you get sick, you can't go to work. If you can't go to work, you can't pay your bills. Healthcare is not just on Floridians' minds. Healthcare is on Virginians' minds, and you know, Georgians' minds, and you know, I mean, I don't know about you all, but it's on my mind. How important is really knowing what the person you're voting for, you're representing, knowing what they really feel versus what they're saying? Because y'all do realize they be lying, right? They be lying, y'all. They be lying.
Politicians.
As a Floridian, I mean, how do you feel? Do you know the difference between the Santos's values and Gillum's values? Because both of them want your vote, right?
Yeah. I'm aware of both their values. I think I've done more research on this during this election than any other. Just because of the history that's going to be made, I really believe that Gillum should be in office. Him trying to restore voters' rights, him being the only black male that has not gone to prison, all of his brothers have gone to prison, so he wants voters' rights, felons' rights restored to vote. I just really feel like a lot of what he stands for and his values are that of someone who actually wants to bring balance back to our state, and to help get rid of some of the inequality, some of the, you know, I'm trying to choose my words correctly. Golly, I don't want to say them bad. Just to get rid of the good old boy system. You know, it's a lot of.
Hey, just say how you feel, bro. Just say how you feel.
Yeah, man. It's the good old boy system. I mean, a lot of the bites. Treatment that we have in the state. I mean, like me going to work or driving a nice car, you know, someone pulling me over and I got to watch how I speak, how I put my hands in my car, my movement to my car. When I get out of the car, is someone going to mow me down with their pistol because they're afraid of black men? They think everybody in a nice car sells drugs in the state of Florida or across the nation, period. I just believe that there's so many things that are taking place in the realm of injustice that we need more black and brown faces in political positions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to take for granted that everybody's voting tomorrow because I do realize that, you know, many of us feel, you know, a type of way regarding politics. And there's a lot of people who will not vote regardless tomorrow because they just don't really see the value in it. And it's unfortunate, but it's real. Is there anyone who has taken a position that they're not voting tomorrow? Okay, is the path clear for everyone who's voting tomorrow? Are you in limbo, or is it clear to you? Is that everybody? I will admit. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I have my favorites. I've done my research, and I'm clear. And I'm praying for people to get out and go vote. I believe that even the numbers, that the 17% that they're reporting, I believe that number is just it's so much propaganda. I don't believe anything they're reporting. I believe that black people are going to be voting tomorrow more than ever before, and they want us to believe that people are of color aren't getting out and voting, so you can be more alive with people who are voting or intended to vote. So I think it's psychological, and I believe that we're going to have large turnouts tomorrow.
32 million people have already participated in early voting. That all by itself speaks volumes. That is more than half of the people who did early voting the last election period. So that all by itself says that people are taking it seriously. For me personally, right, and I do understand the need to not be disrespectful. When I approached this topic tonight and thought about the panel, I wanted to bring in people who had real perspectives, specifically African American males who are being, you know, impacted in this country in the most negative way. I think, you know, out of all any ethnicity that walks the face of the planet. We must get out and vote, but we also, what you just said, Keith, we got to put more people in positions of power who present our values and who look like us. It's not necessarily a black thing, because if you are black and you don't represent my values, unfortunately, I'm not going to support you. It really doesn't matter. You know, you could be a white person representing my values, just because the black person looks like me, I'm not going with it if I don't feel like it's going to best benefit the community holistically. It's not about me as an individual. It's about you and your benefit to the community as a whole. What I've learned is there are people who look like us and talk like us but really don't mean us no good, and we got to be able to recognize that and call it out. And unfortunately, that happens more so in the church than it does in politics, and that's a different show altogether. Nevertheless, I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking about leadership. It's still the same form, right? It's people following people, people lobbying votes and likes. It's one and the same. Be conscious of where you plant seeds. Let's go to VA. VA is a Commonwealth state that, I mean, man, it is flipped back and forth, but historically it's a Republican state. Cliff, will there be a blue wave taking place?
I'd be surprised if anything like that happened here. Forgive me for being a bit pessimistic about politics, especially locally here, like you said, in a good old boy state. What I'll do, really quickly, it becomes a matter of logic with me in politics and our participation in the process, in all honesty. And that's me being respectful. So what I'll do as quickly as possible is I'll just give it like a historical perspective. And then it's upon the person, upon hearing the facts to determine for themselves, like where you stand with it and the reality of it and how it affects you personally. Right, you know, in 1868, we know it was the 14th Amendment that gave us the right as citizens, right? But it didn't necessarily give us that right to vote necessarily. So in 1870, they passed the 15th Amendment, and that passed the vote that gave us actually the right to vote as citizens in the United States, right? Now, predictably, what happened was there were things like poll taxes, literacy tax, and of course, the Ku Klux Klan was put into place to prevent the black vote. That's historic. Those are facts. In 1915, Congress passed a law that shot the clause down. Okay? What states had done with these poll taxes and et cetera, you figure if black people coming out of that time, that's historically, would have been out of slavery. So you didn't have money, so you couldn't pay a poll tax. It was illegal for a black person to vote, so there was a literacy test. To be educated, so there was a literacy test. So, of course, you know, you can't read, so you can't pass the literacy test. And then when all these things were shot down, they passed a grandfather clause. That's where the term comes from. That said, if your grandfather had never voted, then you couldn't vote. Now, that's just historically. So it took from 1915 to shoot that down And then in 1964, during the Civil Rights Movement with people like Martin Luther King, and we know a few others, Congress passed the 24th Amendment. And that outlawed poll taxes. But this is 1964. So remember, the first one was passed in 1868. So we're damn near 100 years into it then, which is historic. So it wasn't until 1965 that the Voting Rights Act was passed that gave the Attorney General the right to kind of legislate like over the states and to be kind of proactive. But of course, in 2013, the United States of America, the Supreme Court, shot down and gutted the part that made those states that had historically prevented black people from voting. They would have to go through the feds if there was any amendments or any changes to the laws. But in 2013, the Supreme Court shot that down. So now we find ourselves, of course, where, of course, everyone needs our vote, and that's true. But if you are going to participate in the process, it can't be a passive-aggressive vote, especially locally. When you elect these people into office who supposedly represent you, you have to then hold yourself accountable to also be a willing participant. It is not simply enough to vote. And in as much as you interjected church at one point, Terrence, really quickly, then it's just like a matter of faith. Faith without works is dead. Well, your vote, if that's all you're going to do, is essentially dead because you're no longer holding anyone accountable. You're just going to, it's a passive aggressive move to say that I'm supporting something. So I think we have to look at it from a historical perspective, but then make the practical decision as how it applies to you today, specifically for you and yours. And then you just make a logical decision from there.
No, well said. It's 9:32. It's a long radio show. Panel discussion tonight, State of America. We're talking about tomorrow's elections and the high stakes. Cliff out of VA so eloquently just broke down really, really a historical timeline on the history of the electorate in the United States. And, you know, there were recent changes made as recently as 2013. And I'm not sure if you all even remember this, but I can remember thinking to myself, like, are we about to lose our right to vote in the country as black people? Yeah. I'm so serious. Like, I studied that. I mean, I followed it. Yeah. And I remember, thinking, like, are we about to lose our rights as black people in the United States? Because that's specifically what the law was really about. It was about restoring or extending, if you will. I mean, if you interpreted it correctly, extending our rights. Is blacks
The question is valid politically speaking in America. The question is valid simply because 45 is in office. You can literally expect anything. If you don't think so, just look at who's in office right now.
It's
and
real.
Then ask yourself, why would it be far-fetched for anything crazy to happen? It is America after all. And historically
It's unbelievable. I mean, to that point, I mean, listen, when I heard this right here, I knew that we had hit an all-time low. I mean, check out this
report. Why does Democratic candidate Stacey Abrams say her opponent should step down for trying to fix the Georgia governor's race? Does she worry her A-list support could backfire at the polls? She's live on The View next.
In terms of treating
you can still get in on the savings at ViewYourDeal.com. We partnered with vendors for at least half off incredible.
Okay, that's not what we wanted to actually share. So we're going to get what we wanted to share right, and we'll come back. Andrew Gillum out in Florida, Trump actually called him a stone-cold thief recently. I mean, to your point, about anything is possible in the government. We were trying to pull a clip, an excerpt, what we were trying to pull was the horse face clip. Do you all remember when the president called the lady horse face after, you know, she lost the case in court? He said, well, I guess I can go after horse face and, you know, her low rate lawyer. Andrew Gillum has really shown us how to deal with folks like President Trump. He said something so eloquently, and I hope we got this clip right. Check out the candidate running for governor.
The way we're going to be successful this November is, again, by giving voters a reason to turn out and vote for something and not just against. I think we're also going to be wildly successful at getting more black voters, brown voters, young voters, poor voters, working class white voters to get out and to vote for us. But I honestly believe that the nature of this moment, what's happening at the national level, is really fueling and will fuel a whole new segment of people who really want to see more decency and more respect, more humanity, and also a brand of politics that says, I see you, I hear you, and we have a plan to try to make your life better as well.
The president called you a socialist. Response?
Well, I'm a Democrat, but I have to tell you, not much of what Donald Trump says is actually based in fact. So it doesn't in any way surprise me that he will name call. He's going to resort to that, and guess what? I'm ready for it. The president does not scare me. If he's going to tweet at me, he should at me. And he ought to know that he should be prepared to receive a response where appropriate. But my race.
And he continues to respond that way, and that's taking the high road. I think, to, you know, Cliff's point, anything is possible, but you cannot be passive with your vote. You have to be very intentional. We're literally fighting for our lives, and if you thought Obama's election was important, you listen, this is probably the most important period that we're going through, this particular cycle that's going to lead up to the next presidential election. The time is right now. This is just as important. Cliff, you talked about the 17% across the board, and I certainly don't deny that they're reporting that. Locally, where you are, do you feel that people will go out and vote tomorrow, or do you feel that people just feel like that their voice is really not important?
I'm active locally, you know, so for lack of a better word, I always have my thumb to the pulse of what's going on, especially around here.
Right.
And locally, there absolutely is, there seems to be an apathy. Traditionally, of course, our aunties, our grandmas and them, the local drives who traditionally vote are certainly going to. But there's a large demographic, especially amongst younger people who actually aren't engaged. And whether that be through just not knowing or just not caring, I think that speaks volumes to where they feel their voice actually is, like across the board. And of course, like, do I feel as though your vote is important? That's neither here nor there. It is upon you to decide what your ancestors and what the people before you were actually fighting for, because we stand upon the shoulders of giants, of course. And as Martin Luther King put it, to quote him, I think this quote unquote, he said that he feared he was putting his people in a position into a place where the house was already on fire. And that was Martin saying that about his idea towards integration and this sort of thing. So we have to be just honest about ourselves as black people in America. And whether you vote or you don't, you have to look across and see what's going on. How has it been historically? How is it actually changing? You know, my next major milestone, I'll be 50 for me, to my next major age milestone. And in all honesty, in my 50 years, it's like I see the rhetoric and this sort of thing. But I also see the plight of those, the majority of our people. Now, anecdotally, of course, some of us are doing better than others. Some of us are actually doing quite well. and you do see different things where people are advancing. But for the majority of our people, we still hurting. So we got to be real about, like, how much this vote actually matters and, like, what is it doing for you? Because, yeah, there are some of us, and there are going to be segments. But the exception is not what we are supposed to look at. We're supposed to look at the rule. And the rule predominantly for black people in America, I don't care if you're in Oakland, California, Richmond, Norfolk, Tallahassee, Florida, Miami, Boston, Chicago, Richmond. Like you said, I've been to a lot of places. And a lot of times our people fucked up, B. No matter what the vote.
No, it's real.
We just got to be real.
I think that is real. I think that is real. Yeah. And when you talk about, like, millennials, I mean, I could remember, you know, transitioning to voter age and being excited to vote. Again, that was during the period where Nelson Mandela was, like, you know, elected president. I mean, things have changed. And the reality is apathy is real. And when you talk about, you know, people hurting, I mean, a lot of people don't connect with, and the key word is connect. Do not connect, do not relate to politics, politicians, and what this is all about. It doesn't really change them. Go ahead.
Yeah, look at it, man. Just look at it this way, right? Look at a millennial, right? They're so fast, they're so sharp, they're so quick, right? And you tell them to, like, participate in the political process, right? And that's what we wanted to do, right? Nah, you got Ronald McDonald in office, yo, so the millennial looking at you like, yo, are you serious?
Right.
You really got Ronald McDonald in office and you telling me to participate. How is that a thing? Like, logically, psychologically, just, you know, I'm an artist, right? I'm an artist. Look at the psychological imagery. If you're, my daughter's 15, yo, right? She's 15. She's a good girl, smart kid, right? She's right here beside me right now. Listen, Naya, I want you to go vote, right? But right now, who your president? She just said Donald Trump. Now tell them a millennial, go vote. And what's going to happen? So after a while, you have to be cognizant that we don't, as us now being the elders that we once saw, we were coming up as children of the 70s and the 80s, right? Remember, after a while, like, a lot of times when you look back at it, you're like, man, grandma and them really weren't really on it for real, yo. They just, we respected them because they was our peers, but logically, we look at them, we're like, eh. And so right now, our kids, they sharp, yo. They sharp.
Yeah.
And you tell them, go vote, it's really important. And they're like, yo, but Donald Trump, the president.
It has to make sense. It has to make sense to millennials, and if it doesn't make sense, they're looking at you with the side eye. I mean, everybody on this panel tonight is raising children, teenagers, you know, a few younger. I mean, what is the message? I mean, you know, Cliff out of the ages clearly, you know, I think gave us a practical perspective, you know, as it relates to parenting. Right. I mean, as a parent, I mean, man, look at first of all, how difficult is it for us to have conversations with our daughters about Judge Kavanaugh? You know, Fee out of South Carolina tonight. I mean, what kind of conversations are you having with your daughters about the fact that we just put an accused rapist on the bench?
It was actually sad. My oldest was at work during the whole trial. It was me and my youngest. We were watching it. And just to see her innocence just literally, like, leaving her body as she was watching it. And it was sad, you know. And for me to have that raw, uncut convo with her, because at their ages, they're now 14 and 19, I don't sugarcoat shit when it comes to them. And I had to break it down to her because she saw where the young lady who accused him, she saw her portion. Then she witnessed his. And she was like, well, mommy, why don't they believe her? That's the reality. That's where we live in. This is the world that we live in, you know? So I had to go through the whole talk of, you know,
You come to me, you tell me if something's going on with you, if someone has approached you, you know. And she's looking at me like, okay, chick, you had this conversation with me all my life. But I had to reiterate what I've raised them on, you know. And then tomorrow they're out of school. She'll be in line with me when I go vote. And my oldest, this will actually be, she's 19, this will actually be her first time voting. And they just don't want to see this clown in office anymore. They want to see that we're showing up and we're making, you know, we're making a difference, you know. And I know that we can do it. We had Obama in the office 8 years. We can do this again. We can do this again.
Yeah. And I guess for young people in America who only knew Obama, who really connected with the last administration, they probably are going through some kind of psychological trauma. It's almost like whiplash, right? I mean, you know, going from the Obama administration to the Trump administration, some kids probably need medication right now for the trauma that they've actually experienced the last year and a half, almost 2 years. This is what I feel in reference to our need to vote. We live in the most dynamic country on the face of the planet. Our ability to vote is a right for the freedom that we have. We live certainly in a country that is free in the midst of a whole lot of places that are not free. When you look at places overseas that are like led by dictatorship, and the fact that you have places like Saudi Arabia who just allowed women to start driving in their country, to be able to vote, I know sometimes doesn't feel like it makes a difference. And maybe at a very high level, it doesn't really make a difference, but still it's your right to get out and vote. But where it really does make a difference is locally. You may not feel like it makes a difference at a federal level, at a state level, but voting is voting. And it's your right to be able to vote for a superintendent that helped to run your school district and councilmen that helped to run your city. And whether you know it or not, you put people like the people who control your money. You vote those people in place. You vote judges in place. So, you know, if you live in a place where people get locked up a lot, I mean, you know, what is your level of participation in government locally? We impact all of that. So at a high level, I get it. But we have a right as Americans to vote. We pay taxes. And listen, where my money goes, I want all the benefits. Because I'm a taxpayer, I get the right to vote. Give me my damn right to vote. Give it to me. I want to make it happen. Get up, get out, vote tomorrow. It really doesn't matter who you vote for. Just get up, get out, and vote. Keith, you talked about taking your kids through the experience. Why is that so important?
I believe it's my responsibility. One, I'm a homeschool father, business owner, and entrepreneur. So I want my kids to see what it takes. And I believe that a lot of times we devalue the municipal elections, and I believe those are the elections that really affect our lives. You know, more intimately. You know, it's like you mentioned the judges and the school board officials and all the things that, you know, really affect our lives. That's why I took my kids out of public schools, because I wanted to have more intimate involvement in their life. But I believe if we show them by example, it will be easier for them to follow. I remember as a kid, my parents would take me down to the voter registration boxes, and I remember seeing the big white boxes, and I just remember the process before I was able to vote, watching my mom and dad do it together. We always did it as a family. So I don't think I've taken my children to do that since Kimberly has been married, but I really want to expose that to them this year. I believe it's important with teenagers in my home and just really teaching my children how important it is to exercise the responsibility to vote. I don't believe it's a right. I believe it's a responsibility because so many people have died and, you know, lost their life and gone to prison. And, I mean, so many tragic things have happened to people just for the simple right or the privilege, you know, and the responsibility to go out and exercise it. So I'm going to exercise it as much as I can.
Will Andrew Gillum be elected governor tomorrow?
I prophesy that he is. Yeah,
prophesy, brother. Well, see, while I'm along those lines, will 45 be reelected in 2020?
I don't believe he is. I don't believe so.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Can I ask a question on the issue? Name a Democrat right now who's going to beat him.
I don't have one.
It's 2018 right now. We ain't got much time.
I don't have one personally. That's why I asked the question because
that's what I'm saying. I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think of a Democrat that I know, like on a national level, that's even on that plateau that has that even just name recognition and facial recognition. And that's all.
You know, it's real.
I can't think of one.
It's real. It's real. And folks, I mean, to be flat out, you know, balanced with this discussion tonight, and I don't know how balanced it is having this little conversation 10 minutes left in the show, but the economy supposedly is doing well. I'm not sure that I'm feeling it, but the economy is supposedly doing real well. I can tell you that last month, the stock market has lost $1 trillion. I said $1 trillion. Everything that has been earned this year, 2018, it was wiped out in October alone. So they're not talking about that, but supposedly the economy is doing really well. So for me, it's important that, you know, we balance this thing out and we don't be as emotional about the fact that our president certainly is untraditional. He's disrespectful. He's untraditional. He was described recently by the British press to either be a racist, incompetent, in thinking, or all three. I'm not sure they're too far off with their description.
Right.
But this is the deal. He's doing some serious things that some people like. He's benefiting from a lot of things that the Obama administration did that he's taunting, like unemployment and things like that, you know, policies. I mean, some of this is what Obama laid out, and he's benefiting from it, and we'll give it to him. But, I mean, what we won't give him is the fact that he flat out lies, and I think there's an integrity issue, and it's hard to have a conversation with children about integrity and why they should tell the truth when the president stands up and tells, like, I mean, serious lies, and we know it. That's the problem I have. And for that, we got to change the dynamics here.
Yeah.
We truly do. In the last few minutes of the show, you know, what advice do you all have? And I say advice not, you know, as experts, right? But advice because you've been walking the earth long enough to have perspective. I mean, what advice do you have for voters as they prepare to go to the polls tomorrow? As we wind down the show, and thank you all for your time. I mean, high stakes on election day tomorrow. The state of America is I'm going to say it, we're totally divided. We're totally divided, and we're being led by a president who's very divisive. What advice do you have as we prepare to go to the polls? Fee, we'll start with you.
I would say make sure once you cast your vote, you watch that it goes through. There's been a lot of little underhanded things. Yeah, it's been a lot of little underhanded things I've heard at the polls here in South Carolina. So just make sure that, you know, once you click on, you know, whomever you choose, Republican, Democrat, make sure that that's what goes through. They had a lady on the news the other day where she chose, well, she didn't say who she chose, but she said that once her vote was casted, she realized that it switched over to the opposite, to the wrong person. So, yeah, just kind of be, you know, aware of, you know, when you do go vote, who you're voting for.
Yeah. Yeah, what feedback you got for the people, Cliff?
Man, like, I think politically, if you're going to make any kind of difference, of course, it's going to be locally, but even then, hold those people accountable. And just as far as a perspective on what's going on, just Charlottesville happened a couple of years ago, and it happened, like, specifically here in Virginia. So remember, when it comes to, like, what's going on, man, a lot of those people in Charlottesville, man, all of them are from out of state. And who are those people affiliated with locally and around you that control what you're doing? That's it.
Yeah. No, that's real. Hold people accountable. And pay attention. Pay attention. Hold these people accountable that we're electing into office. Hey, Keith, wind it down for us, man. What advice do you have for folks going to the polls?
You be accountable. Hold people you vote for accountable. And get out and go vote tomorrow. Don't let tomorrow go by without you getting a ride over, driving yourself down, driving your kids down. Make tomorrow historical for you and your family. Take it personal. Don't let it go by without you being involved in this electoral vote this year.
Take it personal. Be intentional. It was said earlier in the show that we're standing on the shoulders of giants. What that really means, my friends, is that, you know, there are people who have made great sacrifices, like painful sacrifices on our behalf, our ancestors, right? And it is extremely important that we pay homage and we do the right thing. Now, if it's your, like, excuse to not get up and get out and vote because you got to get up too early to do it, the excuse is they're open to 7 o'clock. So no excuse, right? No excuse is what I meant. You can do it early in the morning or you can do it late at night. No excuses. We're standing on the shoulders of giants. I appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight. Thank you to the guests that have shared their perspectives on the panel. Man, I hope we make history with Andrew Gillum and with Stacey Abrams in both the state of Florida and the state of Georgia. But the bottom line is this. We got to participate, get up, get out, get involved, all right? We're back Wednesday, 9 p.m. at the same time. Thanks, everybody. Thank you all. Good night.
All right, now. Peace.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. TM Hyman Live. live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio show. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. CM Hyman live. Talk radio.